Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Life Study emphasizes the capital L life that can be found in the Scriptures. Jesus said in John 6:63, "The words I have spoken to you are spirit and are life." This is the fruit of over 70 years of ministry by Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Watchman Nee began his ministry in China in the 1920s. And it continued until his imprisonment and eventual martyrdom in the 1970s. Witness Lee brought this ministry to the United States in 1962 and began speaking these life study messages in 1974, completing it in 1995. To find out more, you can visit our website, lifestudy.com. Again, that's lifestudy.com. Now, let's join today's program. In the Old Testament, inheritance was based on genealogy, according to family and tribe. It was also ordained by God that only males could inherit the property and possession of one who died. So what happened when a man died and had no male heir or successor to the family name? Well, in Numbers chapter 27, this question was raised to Moses and ultimately to Jehovah by five daughters of a man named Zelophehad. And the Lord's consideration of their request has a major application even for us, as we'll see today. Bob Danker has joined us as we come to a very interesting story, but more important, with a marvelous and wonderful application in Numbers chapter 27. Bob, welcome back.
Well, it's good to be here again, Chris, and you're right. This is a very interesting story here in Numbers 27, and to appreciate and to apply this to ourselves, we really look to the Lord to help us to bring this out so that all our listeners can be brought into the proper understanding of this portion and know how to apply it to their Christian life.
Bob, maybe you take a moment. Rather than read these verses, I think I'll just ask you to summarize the story and what led up to this interesting account that we're going to touch today.
Well, of course, God was about to bring his people Israel into the good land, so he was instructing them as to how they should divide up the land for their possession. And the portion of the land that went to a particular family depended on what tribe they were in, who their father was. It was altogether related to their family relations, their genealogy among God's people. So this possession of the good land and the enjoyment of the good land is a type for us today that signifies our possessing and enjoying Christ, who is the reality of the good land. God has allotted to each one of his believers a portion of Christ for their enjoyment. This is a precious inheritance which we need to treasure, and of course we need to enjoy it, and we need to protect our inheritance because it is really the most precious thing we have from God. So here we're going to see how five daughters came to Moses because their family was about to lose this inheritance, and they didn't want to see that happen.
Here was the case. This man, Zelophehad, had no sons, yet five daughters. And according to the ordinance at that time, there was no provision made as yet for an inheritance to be bequeathed to daughters, only sons. And now we have this case where five daughters come forward. There's no son. And what about our father's possession? And this story is how the Lord handles this interesting request and what happens. Stay tuned for this. Let's go to Witness Lee.
Now we come to the statute for the women's inheriting of the land. It's quite interesting that we have such a case. The request here was a request by the females. According to God's ordination, the females have no right for inheritance. Only the males, right? Whether this was fair or this was not fair, but anyhow, this was God's ordination, that only the sons have the right to inherit the father's inheritance, not the daughters. But here, these five daughters, they realized that they don't have any brother. This means their father had only daughters, no sons. Now, apparently, they are requesting something for themselves. According to biblical principle, anyone requests anything for anyone's self that would not be taken care of by God. Do you realize for what these five daughters made such a request? What was the reason? Well, in the law, there was such a statute. If a man married, if this man has no sons, then his inheritance will go to his brother. But when his brother will have a son with his wife, and this son will not be under the brother's name. This son will be under the first brother's name. In order to keep this big brother still remain among the children of God. By this you could say there will be a descendant for the remembrance of that first brother. There was such a study. Now the five daughters, they did not consider about themselves, nor for themselves. They did consider about the father and for their father. God doesn't like you to have no descendant. Then you will not remain in the history of God's people. God doesn't like to have this.
Well, Bob, this is a very interesting story because as a result of the request of these five daughters, the Lord renders a judgment actually in their favor eventually. But what I would like to touch on is not cleverness to persuade the Lord to go along with them, but there was something revealed, and let me read verse 4, in how they address this whole matter that opened a window that I think we want to see today. In verse 4, it says, "Why should our father's name be taken away from among his family because he had no son? Give us a possession among our father's brothers."
That's right, Chris. This shows what was really in the heart of these five daughters. They were actually not making a request so that they themselves could have a possession among God's people, but so that the name of their father would remain among all the tribes of Israel. They were doing this for their father's name. This touched the heart of God. God does not like to see any of his children without descendants. And he doesn't like to see any family among his people to lose their inheritance. God wants all his people to have an inheritance, that is, to have a portion of Christ for their enjoyment. And God wants the name of all his people to be remembered, not to be blotted out or taken away from among all of the people of God. So when the daughters of Zelophehad made this request on behalf of their father, God responded by ruling, by making a judgment, in this case, that was in their favor. So this request pleased God. This shows us that when we as God's people have regard for the enjoyment of God's grace, we like to have this enjoyment, then God is pleased with this request. As long as we don't make it just for ourselves, we make it for something related to God's people and to the proper relationships among God's people.
Bob, this case does not end here in chapter 27. Near the end of Numbers, in chapter 36, reference is made to it once again, and it's elaborated on a little bit. That elaboration becomes an important part of the story, as we will see in this next section. Let me just give our listeners this verse in chapter 36, verse 6. It says, "This is what Jehovah commands concerning the daughters of Zelophehad, saying, let them be married to whom they think best. Only into the family of the tribe of their father they shall marry." And actually, if we read in there, it tells us that if they marry outside of the tribe of their father, then this provision is canceled, annulled. They lose the provision that God was willing to grant them. So another interesting aspect of the story, and this too has a great significance, as we'll see, and an application for us. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
You know, Firstly, Moses brought this request to God. Then God answered. God answered, yes, the five daughters, their request is right. It is present to me. I like to see this. I don't like to see one of my people who just deceased without any remembrance in the history of my people. So the five daughters request is according to my desire. So this is go. You have to answer. But only one thing, you have a binding term that you five daughters should not marry to a man of another tribe. You are limited to marry to a man of the same tribe as yours. This is quite meaningful. I'd like to tell you the typology. Do you know, in a sense, none of us is male. In the whole universe, there is only one male. That's God, embodied in Christ. So Christ is the only husband. I am not a male. I am a male in God's creation, but I am not a male in God's new creation. In God's new creation, we all are females. So these five daughters in typology, they signify us. So thank God for the five daughters. Their request is made for us, for all of us. So God okays this request. We have the right to inherit the divine things. Yet, for this right, there is a binding term. And this term is that we should not go to anyone that is not of the same tribe. What's our tribe? Our tribe is Christ and the church. You see, Christ and the church is our tribe. We inherit divine things. Then all together we and all the things we inherited should go to Christ and the church people. There is such a term which is binding. It's quite binding.
Well, Bob, we begin to get a window here as to how this all applies to us. It's one thing to study another interesting story in the pages of the Old Testament, but boy, when the light shines and we begin to see an application that affects us, then our appreciation for God's Word and the ministry really heightens. And I think that's where we've come now. We realize, in the spiritual sense, let's talk about this for just a moment. We're all females. What do we mean here, Bob?
Well, Chris, in the old creation, there are males and females, but in the new creation, all God's people, as parts of His wife or His bride, are females in the relationship to God. Right. Only God is a male, but in our relationship to Him, we are the weaker ones, we are the dependent ones, we are the ones who should be in submission to Him. We are not the husband, we are the wife. That means we all, whether we are naturally males or females, we really are, spiritually speaking, we're all females.
Okay, now we have this provision, this binding term, as he said. I will grant your request. You can inherit of your father's portion, provided that you marry only within the line of your tribe, your family. How about this?
Yes, this is a wonderful picture here. You know, in the picture in the book of Numbers, there were 12 tribes. Israel has 12 tribes. Right. That's another aspect in the old creation. But now we want to apply this to the new creation. In the new creation, we don't have 12 tribes. We have only one tribe, and that is the tribe of Christ and the church. Now, all of God's people who are in the new creation, they all belong to this one tribe, which is the tribe of Christ and the church. So this requirement here that the daughters of Zelophehad not marry outside of their tribe means that we should not join ourselves to anyone or anything that is outside of our tribe, which is Christ and the church. That means our inheritance, our enjoyment of Christ as our possession, should remain within our tribe. It should remain in Christ and the church. This is a binding requirement on all of us. We should not have join ourselves to those who are outside of the church in a kind of an intimate relationship. Otherwise, we will lose our right to inherit and enjoy Christ as our possession. This is quite an important application for us today.
That means, Bob, in one regard, our enjoyment really of Christ as our portion is heightened, it's magnified, it's intensified dramatically when we are with God's people and when we're all sharing this enjoyment and experience together, doesn't it?
Exactly. Our enjoyment of Christ really depends on our spiritual family, on the tribe that we are a part of. And as long as we are in this tribe and we remain in this tribe, in the fellowship that is in Christ and the church, then our experience of Christ and enjoyment of Christ is intensified, and it's also preserved and safeguarded. If we go outside of this sphere of Christ and the church, then we will find out we will lose our enjoyment of Christ.
Bob, what about the situation, which I think happens with a fair amount of frequency? We must be fair. We may get disillusioned or disheartened. The situation in church life experience that we have, it doesn't measure up to our expectation. And so there's a kind of a cutting off, even something we impose upon ourselves, a kind of removing ourselves from fellowship with God's people, with other believers, and just sort of set out as spiritual solo pioneers. How would you address someone that's contemplating such a step?
I would urge this one to reconsider his way, because according to this picture, if we take such a course, separating ourselves from the fellowship of God's people, thinking that we can have the proper experience of Christ on our own, kind of as an individual pioneer, spiritual pioneer, so to speak, that we will find that our enjoyment of Christ will greatly diminish. So God's intention is that we remain within our tribe and have all our relationships within the tribe of the church.
And Bob, I think just to highlight one point you made a moment ago, in the new creation, in the New Testament, there really is only one tribe, isn't there, in the household of God?
That's right, only one tribe. And that tribe is just Christ as the head and the church as the body. These are all God's children, including Christ as the firstborn Son of God, and we all as those who are born of God to be his children. This is our tribe. It's tremendous, isn't it? A wonderful tribe we are a part of. We should not leave this tribe.
Okay, in our final portion, actually, we're going to see this point, I think, underscored quite well. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
If an Israelite died and had no sons, his inheritance would pass to his daughters. This statute came out because of the request of five females. Even God did something because of our request. Our desire to possess or to inherit God's grace may be a cause that God would do something that he has never done. It's very meaningful. So there was such a statute established among the items of the law. If an Israelite died and had no sons, his inheritance would pass to his daughters. If he had no daughters, no sons, no daughters either, his inheritance would be given to his brothers. If he had no brothers, his inheritance would be given to his father's brothers. If his father had no brothers, his inheritance would be given to his nearest relative of his family. There must be some lifeline. There must be something, you see, connected in the blood. There must be some bloodline. And this means what? This means you must have some relationship in life. You must have some fellowship in life. Relationship is a human word. Fellowship is a divine word. See, our fellowship with the saints is a kind of relationship. We must have this relationship. If we are through with this relationship, with the fellowship, with some of the saints, we will be finished. Finished in the enjoyment of Christ. You think about it. So, it is very risky, very dangerous to give up your church life.
Right.
through this chapter, we should see we must remain in the proper, closest relationship with the saints.
Bob, this somewhat continues the point that we were fellowshipping about in the middle section there. But the fellowship, not just the relationship, which he said is a common word, but fellowship is the spiritual word. Our fellowship in the divine life is conditional upon maintaining a proper relationship with the members of the divine family, the household of God. Develop this for us. This is a marvelous point.
It is, Chris. As you can see in this story, the inheritance of a Israelite who had died could not be given just to anyone within the whole house or nation of Israel. It had to go to a blood relative, one who was in that blood line. And of course, this means that the inheritance depends on the relationships among the Israelites. And relationship here is a common word. Fellowship is a New Testament word. Right. If we have the proper relationship with other members of the church as the body of Christ, then what we will enjoy is fellowship, the flow of life among all the members. This fellowship will be the very basis upon which we have the right to claim the enjoyment of Christ. If we lose the proper fellowship, that means our relationship with the believers is improper. It's based on something other than life. It's possible for Christians to have a relationship based on something other than the divine life. In the divine life, we all are one tribe, one family. We have the bloodline. But in our natural life, our old fallen human life, if we try to have a relationship based on that life, then what happens? Well, we lose the enjoyment of Christ. We lose the basis for us to have the claim that these five daughters, they had a claim that they requested. They had a standing, a ground on which they stood to request that this inheritance be given to them. Well, we lose that standing when we relate to other believers based on anything other than the divine life. In this divine life, we all are one. We all are one family, one tribe, one body. In this divine life, we have fellowship, and in this fellowship, we have the rich enjoyment of Christ.
Mm. Bob, there's a very poignant matter that comes out of this point, and that is oftentimes our inexperience is tied with those with whom we may feel we have a particular special relationship, maybe a friendship, and there's nothing wrong with friendship, but as a basis for fellowship, then when we move into that ground, we have really sacrificed, haven't we?
We have, Chris, because friendship is based on the preference of our natural life. It is not based on the divine life. So when we base our relationships on the divine life, we find that we are one with all the brothers and sisters in the Lord, regardless of whether we like them or dislike them personally. This has no ground at all in our relationships in the church as the body of Christ. Our relationship is absolutely dependent on the divine life, and therefore our enjoyment of Christ is fully based on this divine life.
Bob, another hidden treasure here in the life study of Numbers. The five daughters of Zelophehad, and who would have thought we'd have had so much to talk about, so much fellowship, and receive so much light from the Lord in such a portion.
This was wonderful, Chris.
It was. Okay, let us point out our toll-free number and invite you to contact us. We would very much treasure your comments, and maybe this touched a point in you that the Lord has been operating, and this is a confirming word or gives rise to a question. Whatever it is, please contact us. We would love, as I said, to have real fellowship with you in the body of Christ. Our toll-free number, 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Our mailing address is Living Stream Ministry, Post Office Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814. Or send your email to us, radio@lsm.org. For Bob Dankard today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening today.
Receive us.
Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee spent 7 decades in the 20th century speaking Christ, first in Asia, and then North America, eventually all over the world. The culmination of those 70 years of ministry was his Life Study of the Bible, an exhaustive exposition of the entire Scriptures. This unique commentary focuses on how Christ can be life to man in an experiential and practical way. These programs encapsulate Witness Lee's speaking in just 26 minutes. But to get the complete riches, visit lifestudy.com. From there, you can read all of the Life Study messages in their entirety or download any of our more than 1,700 audio programs at no cost. Again, that website is lifestudy.com. Thanks for listening.